Okay, we're starting the topic Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the first statement of Rav Chisda, our Mishnah, on discussing Ona'ah. We discussed there the machlokas between the Rashbam and Tosafot about how our Mishnah reconciles with Rava and Perakah Zahav. Then we have Rav Chisda as a derivative of that, the question of how Rav Chisda, whether Rav Chisda holds up Yehuda Nesiyah and therefore argues on Rava according to the Rashbam, according to Tosafot, that Rav Chisda is following that same according to Tosafot, he's following the same position that Rava has, and Rav Chisda is included in this position of Rava that the Rabbeinu Tam assumes. So we have the first statement of one of the first Chiddush of Rav Chisda, and now we're going to start with the second Chiddush of Rav Chisda, which is four lines down on Pei Dalet Amud Aleph. Rav Chisda, Machar lo shavashish b'chamish, sold something that was worth six for five. So now the person that was nitaneh in this case was the mocher. The seller undercharged unfairly for the item. Vehuzlu, but amdu al gimel. In the meantime, the price went down even further. Not only did he buy it at a good price, the buyer, but it went down significantly more. So, minitaneh, who here was offended? Meaning, who here was the one that was cheated? So, mocher, that was the seller. Mocher yechol lachzor bo v'lo lokeach. The seller can reverse his position. The seller has the right to retract or renege on the sale. Whereas lo lokeach, but not the buyer. The buyer does not have such a right. Adamalei, ilu lo nitun lo havi matzat hadar pecha. Because he says, and this is the premise of the previous sheet of Rav Chisda, that had you not cheated me, then there'd be no right for you as this as the buyer to reverse or to renege on this deal. So now, hashta matzai tadad becha, now that you cheated me, you should have the right to reverse the transaction, meaning that chote niskar, just because you did something wrong, should not now entitle you to renege on the deal to benefit from your inappropriate actions over here. So you cannot renege on the deal. So it's similar to Rav Chisda's position before. Before Rav Chisda's position, the first one was about the lokeach, about the buyer, where the buyer is affected by the cheating. The seller can't back out, even if something goes wrong, meaning to the point where the sale now is even detrimental to the seller. Nevertheless, the seller's rights are not to reverse his position, even though technically the sale is not complete or absolute until the in first case the buyer agrees, or in the second case here where the seller agrees, because each one of them has a right of refusal or a right to reversal. And until they either waive that right of reversal or act on that right of reversal, the transaction is not complete. Nevertheless, the other party does not benefit from that right. Just because the transaction is not complete doesn't mean that the other party now has a right all of a sudden to reverse it and get benefit from the fact that the transaction is not complete 100%. And therefore, even when it went up in price or went down in price, where the other party would benefit from reversing it, they are not permitted to reverse in that case. So that's, it says, V'tani Tuna. And our Mishnah supports that. Why? Because it says, Ra'ot v'dim t'ot yafot. If he sells wheat that was of lower quality, right, or he said, I'm going to give you lower quality wheat, and in the end, he gives him high quality wheat. Again, here it's the seller that is being nit'aneh. He's the one that is being cheated because he gave much better wheat than he had promised. And mocher yachol lachzor bo, the seller is the one who has the right to reverse here, velo lokeach, and not the buyer. So that's the two statements of Rav Chisda. Again, we just went over them, one with the buyer, one with the seller. Only the party that's cheated has the right to reverse the position here, not the other party. Mar says, my kamashlan. Right? It's Rav Chisda, what's Rav Chisda's Kiddush? Masnizani, we saw in both cases, Rav Chisda quotes our Mishnah, says Tani Tuna, our Mishnah, our Tano says exactly what I'm saying. Well, you know what? If the Tana is saying exactly what he said, then what do we need Rav Chisda for? Meaning that it's whatever Rav Chisda just said was explicit in our Mishnah. So now, imi masnisan, if it was from our Mishnah, hava mina dilmud Rav Chisda tarvayu matzi hadrube. Had I only had our Mishnah, I would have thought in the case of Rav Chisda, both parties would have the right to reverse the transaction. In our Mishnah, how would you explain our Mishnah then? If we're saying that our Mishnah is not equivalent to Rav Chisda, how would you explain the question in our Mishnah? I would explain the situation in our Mishnah. So now, there are two ways to learn the Gemara. There is the, actually three ways to learn the Gemara, but there are really two main ways to learn the Gemara here. There's the Ri and Tosvot, And then over here, there's the Rashbam and Rashi. The Rashbam actually quotes his Moriz HaKeni, he quotes his grandfather, and then he quotes his own Pshat. They are derivatives of each other. It's just a question of how they formulate it. But they both have the same position. I'm going to read it the way the Bach amends it first, which is now the Bach. It says, Umasnisin, that Aleph, from this Aleph here, and to the world Amina, he eliminates from the Gemara. From this word Aleph here down to the word Amina, which means 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 words he takes out. So now he'll write, Umas Nisan, Mishom Dichtiv Ra Ra Yomar Hakone. So now, they have a negotiation. In any negotiation, right, both parties are trying to represent their merchandise or their position. So when it comes to the parties representing their position, the seller will always say, right, yafe, yafe, I'm giving you the best, these are the best quality. The buyer will always say, rah, rah, that's the worst, that's not good quality, that's bad stuff. So the statement, if we did not have Rav Chisda, we have a possibility of assuming that in our Mishnah, the case is unique in our Mishnah because it might simply be part of the negotiation. If it's part of the negotiation, maybe that doesn't qualify for rights of reversal. So now, there's two possibilities of who can make this statement. Who can say that it's either the buyer or the seller. And that both, and that's the difference between the way the Rashbam learns over here and Rashi versus the Ri. So, the way the Rashbam learns and the way he explodes it from Rashi, and then he formulates it slightly different. He says that in the case of Rav Chisda, where there is real ona'ah. The case of Rav Chisda, there's real ona'ah, because either you changed 5 instead of 6, or 6 instead of 5. So there's real ona'ah. If we didn't have Rav Chisda, or Havamim would be in that case, both parties can reverse. Both parties can back out of the case, because there is ona'ah here. That would be in our Havamim. Ah, what about our Mishnah? Mishnah says in cases of Ra'ot and Yafot, where cases like that, there you cannot, both parties don't get the right of reversal, only the party that was cheated. Well, that's a case of ona'ah. But no. Our Mishnah is not really a full case of ona'ah. Why? Because they were sold at their proper value. They were sold for their real value. It wasn't like the price was wrong. It was just that there was in the classification or in the quality of that which was sold is wrong. Now, once you have that, maybe in that instance, that's why both parties can't revert themselves. Why? Because the person comes along and says, any chafetz be'elu. I don't want these items. I don't want what you sold me. So now, what happens when he sells yafot, or he promises to sell yafot, and in the end he finds out that they are ra'ot, that they aren't good quality. So now the lokeach, the buyer, can reverse the position, because he was looking for good stuff, and instead he got low quality stuff, so the buyer can say, I'm backing out. Because there's yafot pakashti, I wanted good quality stuff. But then, and there, according to me, it's a mekach taut, this is not what I wanted. But now, what happens if the mocher all of a sudden shows up and says, listen, I want to reverse this transaction. Price has changed. I want to reverse this transaction over here. So he says, well, you want to reverse your position. Why is the reason you want to reverse your position? He says, listen, I want to be reversing because it's a mechataot. I promised you good stuff, and I ended up giving you bad stuff. I really want to get out of this transaction. I made a mistake. It's a mekach ta'ut. I want to reverse the transaction. I did something wrong over here. The buyer can say back to him, it wasn't a mistake. He says, when you said that, you know, when I was buying from you the stuff and you said it was good quality, I assumed it was bad quality. Why? Because, rah-rah, yomar ha-koneh. Right? That the koneh will always say it's bad, and the seller, the mocher, will always say yafeh, yafeh. It's good quality. But when you said it was yafeh, I didn't believe you. I knew when you were saying it was good quality, that it wasn't the best quality, but rather it was your representation of it. So that's the problem here. This is the claim, right, it's the claim of the buyer. The claim of the buyer is that when you said yafeh, yafeh, I did not believe you. And since he says, when you said yafeh yafeh, I didn't believe you, he can prevent the seller from reversing the transaction. So again, just to say it again, when it comes to Rav Chisda's case, this is the Havamin of the Gemara, without Rav Chisda. When it comes to Rav Chisda's case where there's actual onah, the price is wrong, both parties would be able to reverse themselves. Our Mishnah, how come our Mishnah only one party is allowed to reverse themselves? That's because our Mishnah is a unique case. Our Mishnah is a unique case where the party who was cheated can make a claim. First claim is that, listen, you misled me. I want my money back. I want to reverse the transaction. But he can also make a second claim, which is, if the seller comes along to make a claim that I cheated you, I want to reverse the transaction, he can say, no, you didn't cheat me. You did exactly what I thought you would do. You said it was going to be good, and you gave me bad. That's what I thought you were going to do. And therefore, he can prevent, right, the seller from reversing his position. Right, that would be the Havamina in the Mishnah. That's according to the way Rashi learns. The Rashbam actually says it, formulates it slightly different. And he says that he can be toein that seller can always be toein, I didn't mislead you because I say tov tov. And then the buyer, right, when it comes to the buyer can say, listen, I knew that's what you were going to do, and I didn't want to, I didn't want it to go through, like Rashi said. But when it comes to ona'ah, when it comes to money, where the price is different, the buyer can't come along and say, listen, I really thought you were going to charge the wrong price. I thought you were going to charge the wrong price, and I'm okay with that. Because that's just not true. Nobody, if they knew up front that they were going to get charged the wrong price, nobody up front would agree to such a transaction. If you knew you were getting cheated on the price, would you agree to such a transaction? No way. So you can't come on later on and say, listen, the reason you, the mocher, can't reverse your position over here is because I thought you were going to cheat me on the price anyway. No, that's not acceptable. Nobody up front would do that, and therefore we don't believe you. Whereas when it comes to the case of Ra'ot and Yafot, there you could see such a distinction. I mean, you could see a buyer saying, you know what, I knew you were going to give me the low-quality stuff. I knew you were trying to present it as being high-quality, but there I would. So we believe the buyer when it comes to by Yafot and Ra'ot, and therefore you can prevent the mocher from reversing the transaction. When it comes to the case of Ona'ah, we do not believe the buyer to say, I accept it, that's what I wanted anyway. Because that's just not true. We know that people will not accept the wrong price when it comes to, right, upfront or knowing that the price was charged incorrectly. So in that case, according to Rashi and the Rashbam, it's the right of the buyer here to say no to the mocher, because he says, that's what I thought was going to happen. Now, the Re learns slightly different. You can see this in the Tosus. The Tosus in the wide lines. It's about above from the Tosus high. It's 2, 4, 5 lines up in the Tosus. It says, the Re explains it slightly differently. The Rav Chisda Matsu Hadre Tarvayu. That Rav Chisda, both of them can go back or reverse it. Umas Nisan Leka Lamashma Mide. From Mishnah, you can't learn anything out. Why? They've shared the Masnisan Ari Lohukru Vlahuslu. Maybe in the case of our Mishnah is where the price of the object didn't change after the fact. Wait a minute. Rav Chisda's case had two factors in it. One was, there was misrepresentation of price, right? So there was ona there. But then there was a second thing that happened, which was what? The price fluctuated afterwards. And the price fluctuation went, right, in favor of the one who was cheated. It went in favor of the one who was cheated. So maybe in the case of Rav Chisda, that's why both parties can reverse themselves. We think both parties can reverse themselves because both parties now are at a disadvantage there. But our Mishnah doesn't discuss movements in pricing. Well, if that's the case, there's no movement in pricing, then what's our Mishnah telling us? Right? What's the Mishnah telling us? Oh, the one who was cheated can reverse it? That's not a Chiddush. That's not a Chiddush that Mishnit Aneh Yechol Achzor Bo. That's not a Chiddush. We know that already in Mishnayot. So Sagadat Chamina, that's what he says. You would have thought, Diyafot, Benimsad Ra'ot, Lo Yuchal Achos Barba, Afilu Lo Keach. You would think neither party could reverse the position. Why? Shodeya Shehen Ra'ot. So over here, it's the representation of the seller, and the seller says, listen, he comes along and says, listen, the buyer says, I want to reverse it. You gave me bad quality stuff. You promised me good, you gave me bad quality stuff. You know what the seller says to him? You knew I wasn't going to give you the best quality. You knew when I said, Yafot, Yafot, I was representing my merchandise. I was representing that I was going to give you the best stuff. But you know what? You know, like everybody else knows, that when the seller, he represents his stuff as being best, it doesn't mean it's the best. It just means I'm trying to sell you what I have here. And it may not be the best. It may be low quality. So that would have been the Havamina in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah comes along to tell us, Kamash Malon, that we don't say that in the Mishnah. So according to the Ri, this statement of the Gemara over here, where we say the Havmina, that the Ha'ata, now, if you read this Girsa, now, the Girsa, we eliminated from the Bach, we eliminated those words in the Girsa for the Rashbam. But for the Ri, you could read those eliminated words, which is Ha'ata Lishmi'inan, that our Mishnah comes along to teach us, that the buyer has a right to reverse it. Why? I would have thought the seller could say to him, that the seller could say to him, there is no mekach taot here. Because whatever I represented and I sell to you, nobody thinks I'm going to give you the best quality. Just know that I'm representing my merchandise. So again, the difference between the Rashbam and the Ri is that the Rashbam, right, says simply that this is the claim of the buyer, the one who's cheated. This is his claim why he can force or prevent the other person from reversing the transaction. On the other hand, the Ri says, no, the Mishnah, if you had no information, you would have learned the Mishnah as being, neither party can reverse themselves. Why? Because the seller can make the representation that he didn't really misrepresent. He wasn't a mekach taot here in either party. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, is that the buyer can even reverse himself. And therefore, you would know nothing about Rav Chisda. The Kamash Malan in all of this is, that's not the case. And that's what Rav Chisda comes to teach us. Rav Chisda comes to teach us that our Mishnah applies even in fluctuating prices. Even in fluctuating prices, only the one who is cheated has the right of reversal. Right? And that's even, that's not only in the case of our Mishnah where it's Yeraot and Yafot, but even in a case where there's actual price, right, changes there, that Mekach Taot still only offers the one who's cheated the right to reversal. And that's what Rav Chisda came to teach us that was not found in our Mishnah. That extra step.
That means there's no Mishnah about Manah. There's Shabbos Manah. There's no Mishnah.
Right, no, there's one in Perek HaZav. There's a Mishnah in Onah in Perek HaZav.
So what's Rav Chisda teaching us more than the Mishnah?
Or that it's only one party has the right of reversal, even though the transaction number one, even though the transaction now is still open because of the right of refusal of the other party. And number two, even though now the other party is actually disadvantaged because the price has changed while the transaction is not complete. So Chisda's Kiddush is that despite the fact that you have a right of reversal, well, all the other Mishnayot teach us that, which is that you have a right of reversal. Buyer, say when the buyer's cheated, has a right of reversal. That's all. This Mishnah teaches us, Perek HaZav, the same Mishnah teaches exactly that. Mishnah Nitaneh, Yado Al Elyona. Whoever was cheated has the upper hand. They can make the decision. Now, what happens when they have that upper hand? Is the transaction considered complete for the other party? Or is the transaction not complete because you have a right of reversal? If you have a right of reversal, then maybe that also offers the opportunity to the other party to reverse. Now, in 99% of the times, the other party will not want to reverse because he's at advantage. When's the one case where he'll want to reverse it? Where the price changed and now he's at a disadvantage. So that's the case that Rav Chisda is explaining, that unique case where there's both parties now have been disadvantaged. Can he now, because of the transaction is not complete, can he reverse it? And as Rav Chisda says, no. Only the party that was cheated can reverse it.
That's for the only rule in the case where the mocher, just as merchandise that he sells, but if the mocher himself has different levels of quality of stuff that he sells, and he says, he can't say this, you know, rah rah, mocher, you know, they, everyone knows that I'm just trying to sell my merchandise. No, you have different levels of merchandise. If you're telling me that you're selling the good stuff, it means that you're selling me at least the better stuff that you have.
All right, that might be the equivalent of chometz and yayin. What you're describing might be the same thing as saying vinegar and wine. When it's obvious that there's presenting materials that it has to be one of these, then that's maybe a real mekach taot versus something where there's a nuanced difference in them. So that is a possibility. Although you could argue again, you know, the guy said, you know, I have three grades here, and he'll say even the lowest grade, that's good. It's the best quality. It's better than anybody else's quality.
Exactly.
So you could argue in that case, but again, there the circumstances would have to be determined exactly what the situation was. All right, now. Now the Gemara says shchamtit unimset levana. So we said in the Mishnah the word shchamtit was red colored. I was suggesting like a ruddyish color, but something that's a brownish red. So Gemara says amar papa mikdani levana. So now if you say that it's white, so now you have the two colors that were mentioned in the Mishnah are levana, white, and shchamtit, which was reddish. So now shmamina haishimsha sumkati. That it sounds from that like the sun is red. Why? Because he presented two colors. One is lupana, which is the moon. The moon is white. Shchamtit is from the word chama. The word chama is the sun. So what's the color of the sun? So the fact that the Mishnah is presenting two colors. One color is red, one color is white. One's the sun, one's the moon. So what that means? That it's representing that the sun is actually red. Teda, I'll tell you that that's right. You know why that's right? That Kesam Kotzafra, when you see the sun rising in the morning, the horizon or the sun, the area around the sun is all red. Upanya, also in the evenings when the sun sets, right, it's all red around there. Ah, what about the middle of the day? What about right now? You look up the sun, it's all white. He says, don't worry. Aha, delo kochazinan kule yoma. Nahorin delo vari. He says, why don't we all see that in the day? Since we all need glasses. But really, the fact is that the light of the sun might be so overwhelming at that point in time that we are unable to discern the true color of the sun. It's either because it's so bright or that our eyes are unable to see that nuance that we don't see the redness during the day. But truthfully, the sun is red. We just can't see that during the day. Mar says, Meitave, what are you talking about? We have a pasuk in the Din of Tzaras, which says, Amar Ewa Mok Minaur. That when is something classified as Tzaras is when it looks deeper than the rest of the skin. So what's that? We have a, right, the Gemara says, what does that mean? Kemar Ech Hama Amukam Minatzel. That's basically over here. Anytime you look at something light for something dark, like right here, you have on the table, you have the sun casting a shadow. The light part always looks deeper than the shaded part, the dark part. That means that the white always looks deeper than the dark. But what do you see from here? Vahatam, Lavanhu, right? There, what are you looking for in Tzaraat? Tzaraat is something white. That's the classification that Tzaraat is something that is white. Kimar Ech Hama. So I'm sorry, that's the answer already. There it's clear that we're talking about Levan, because that's the pasuk that's describing what Taras says is imbaheret Levanahi. If it is a white, right, Tarat on him, then that is classified as Tarat. So now there the Gemara explains about the pasuk of Mareh, right, Amok Menor means that it's light deeper than dark. But that's the situation. And we're looking for a white Tzaraat, that means that the sun is white, that the or is just like this. The Gemara's answer is no. Kamera chama velo kamera chama. It's like the sun, but not like the sun. Kimara chama, it's like the light of the sun, de amukam in itself. That anytime you see the light of the sun, it always looks deeper, right, than the shade, like you see right here, the shadow cast over here. The white here looks deeper than the shadow that's cast on this table right here. Velo kamera chama, it's not exactly like the sun. Why? Do you hatam lavan, vata chacha edom. Over here, by the Tzaraat, you need to be white. By the sun, it's red. So true, we're using the sun as an example of the visual aspects of what happens, but we're not using it as an example of the color that we're looking for over here. The color of the sun is red, and the color of the Tzaraat is white. So as Gemara says, okay, the Mai Desalki Da'atin, Mi'ikara, according to the Mandamar here who's questioning and says that by Tzaraat, it's Levan, how does he explain the fact Hakasamka Safra Upanya? How does he even explain that the sun is red at sunrise and sunset? Meaning that fine, okay, let's say he's right. So now the one who said that it's red, the sun's really red, and that's why you see it at sunrise and sunset that way, he explained why it's white during the day, right? Because of either it's too bright or our eyesight can't capture it. But according to the other opinion who says that the sun's really white, how does he explain the fact that it's red during the morning and red at sunset? Says no problem. Bitzafra in the morning, the chalfa be varday the Gan Eden. It's passing by the the gates of Gan Eden, and it's reflecting the vraday, whatever these flowers or something, roses that are found there that are reflecting the redness, right? And that's why it's red at that time. Bepanyo, and at sunset, the chalfa pitcho de Ganinom, that it's passing by the door to Ganim. And that redness is what reflected in the sun. It's passing. So at sunrise and sunset, it's one's passing by Gan Eden, one's passing by Gehinom. And therefore, that's what causes the redness to be seen. And some say it's the opposite. At sunrise, it's passing by Gan Eden. And at sunset, it's passing by, by sunrise, it's passing by Gehinom. And at sunset, it's passing by the Gan Eden. Now, the Rashbam points out over here, and Tosfos seconds that opinion, that everybody agrees that Gan Eden is in the east, right? Because Vayita Hashem Gan Me'eden, right? Mikedem, right? That Hashem put the Gan Eden in the east. So it's clear that Gan Eden is in the east. So therefore, when it comes to sunrise passing by the door of Gan Eden, then we understand, because it's in the east, and sunrise is in the east. But when it comes to the fact that you want to suggest that Gan Eden is in the west, that's why it's red, how do you explain that? So both the Rashbam says, and Tosa says the same thing over here, the fact that it's still in the east. But the only question is, when the sun's affected by the color, is it reflecting that which is opposite it, or that which it's next to? So the first opinion says that what? It's next to, at sunrise over here, it's right past on the door of Yenim. That's why it's red. The other opinion, the Ipcha, is saying no. When the sun is setting, it's facing the door to Gan Eden, which is in the east. It's in the west, and it's facing that door, and that's what causes the redness of the sun. But that means what? What does that mean? That means that, according to both opinions, that Gan Eden is in the east. Now, Tosus raises an interesting problem. It's amazing that Tosus raises, based on that. Okay, now we all agree that Gan Eden's in the east. But what happens to Adam HaRishon when he's thrown out of Gan Eden? When he's thrown out of Gan Eden, he goes east. Right, so wait a minute. If Gan Eden is always in the east, and that's what caused the redness in the sky, then if Adam HaRishon was thrown out of Gan Eden, went east, and we are here wherever, you know, whatever Adam HaRishon was, and we know we're west, right, of that area. So then what happens? It's amazing Tosfos over here. So listen to this Tosfos. Let's show you here. It says that Mashma, the Adam HaRishon, v'kayin b'mizracho shalom hayu. B'sham anu omdim, and we are where Adam HaRishon and Kain are. Imkein, Gan Eden haya b'ma'arav ha'olam. That's the case, then Gan Eden is really west of where we live, or where rest of the world. And yet here, we're describing that Gan Eden, according to both opinions, is in the east. So what does he say here? It's an amazing answer. Tzarech lomar, d'mizrach t'kra, haynu kedem shel olam. That the pasuk, when it says mizrach, does not mean, right, kedem shel olam, she'itzel Gan Eden. V'hainu kidmat Eden, kedem ha'olam, she'itzel Gan Eden. And when he says they went east, that they went kedem, that we went east, doesn't mean east of Gan Eden. It means they went east in the world. They were on the eastern side of the world. So now when it says, when they went kedem, it doesn't mean in relationship to Gan Eden, they went east. But rather it means in relationship to the world today, they were on the eastern side of the world. But not saying that they are east of Gan Eden, they're still west of Gan Eden. So the reference point for the statement of east, for Adam HaRishon and Kayin, is not Gan Eden, but rather the world today. That means Kedom Shel Olam. They went east of the world. So Tosfos has to do that in order to leave Gan Eden in the east, have us still be in the west, and yet the Pasuk says they went east. Says when they went east relative to our perspective today, not relative to Gan Eden. That's Tosfos' answer. It says, Vayisalot Mikedem, right. Vayisalot Mikedem. Mikidmono Shel Olam. Right. Problem is that here, the Tosfos quotes another Midrash Rabbah, which is obviously disagrees, and he says that Kidmono, it says, Ruach Mizrachit Koletati. The eastern side always takes people in. How does he know that? He says, oh, because Kayin went there, Adam HaRishon went there. There, it's clear that the Bereshit Rabbah, that Midrash, was, it could disagree with the other Midrash, is saying they literally went east. Not that they left Kidmono Shel Olam. Not that both aren't true, necessarily. They both could be true, meaning that they both could be true, but the fact that the Bereshit Rabbah explicitly says that he went eastward, really eastward, so that's what those are trying to deal with that difficulty. Alright, the other possibility is that he did go east of Gan Eden, and we're not exactly where Adam HaRishon was, because the Olam was Nitpazer after that point in time, where things were moved, right? He had a Mabul. I mean, we don't know where anything is anymore. It's not clear that wherever Adam HaRishon went, really is in relationship to what we know east of Gan Eden. Number two is Gan Eden really an existing in this world? Meaning Gan Eden doesn't necessarily, it could be something in potential, could be something that's not in this world. And therefore, when he's coming out of Gan Eden, it has nothing to do with where we live today. It may not have any reference point to where we are today. Next, Yayin, v'nimsa chometz, shnehem yachol achzor behen. So we said over here, when it comes to Yayin and chometz, both parties can reverse it. Lema masnisin rabihi velo rabbanan. Let's say the author of our mission is rabbi and not the rabbanan. Why? Because we have a position or a braisa, the Tanya, we have a braisa by Trumot de Masrot, Yayin v'chometz min echad hu. Rabbanan say that when it comes to wine and vinegar, they're classified as one min, one type. And therefore, if you're mafrish, Trumot de Masrot, and it turns out that it was chometz, it's good for the yayin. Is that it's yayin, it's good for the chometz. Since they're classified as one min, you can take one off the other, you can be mafrish. Rabbi Omer, Shnei Minim. They are two different classifications. They are two different categories. Therefore, if you're mafrish Trumot Masrot of Chometz on Yayin, it's not good Trumot Masrot. And if you do it on Yayin, it won't be good for Chometz. So Mar says, Afilu Teimer Rabbanan. Akan lo pligi Rabbanan alei d'rabi elin maser v'chumah. No, maybe the Chachamim's position is only an argument in Masrot and Trumot. Uchla de Rabbi Yelah. Why? What's Rabbi Yelah say? Dama Rabbi Yelah. Minayin l'toray minayra liyafah. Shetruma to truma. How do you know if you took off minayra? Meaning something that's bad here. You took off vinegar instead of wine to be poter the, or to take the tev, shame tevel away from the wine. How do I know that the truma works? Even though it's wrong. What you did is wrong, it still works. Shenamar v'lotisu alav chet v'mchemet chobol mimenu. Better take off the truma, the white ray, meaning from the tov and the tov and the ra and the ra, because if not, you're going to have a chet. You're going to have something wrong when you mafrish the truma to masrot. Where it says, imenu kadosh, right, this is Rabbi Eloah's position, if it's not kadosh, siat chet lama. Why is there any sin? Meaning that if you fail to make Trumot to Masrot here by me mafrish, if you took chometz off of Yayin and it wasn't Trumot to Masrot, where's the tisal of chet? What chet is it? There is no Trumot to Masrot here. You've done nothing wrong because you accomplished nothing. Your action was invalid. Your action was completely invalid. Now, if you say my action is valid, but I did the wrong thing, then you could say that tisal of chet. You did the wrong thing. You were not supposed to take vinegar off of wine. Right? But when you did it, if you did it, it will work. But when it works, you're going to be tisal av chet, you will be a choteh. We saw a similar concept by Onah, right? Ramban and others that suggest that even Onah, less than a sixth, is still classified as a violation of an Isur HaTorah. That you still violate the Isur Onah, even though there's no reversal of the transaction. I mean that the only way you could have an Isur and then be in violation of the Isur if it stands, right? I mean, if everything's... So there you... Here too. If it stands, right, and the Truma works, then there's a Chet. If there's no transaction, if as if there was never any transaction, then there is no Chet. So that's the Rabbanan's position over here. The reason they say Yain and Chometz are Min Echad, it's not because they actually believe that Yain and Chometz are one Min. They believe they're two Minim. And they believe that you shouldn't be able, you shouldn't. If you come and ask them, should you be Mafrish from Chometz and Yain and Chometz, the answer is no. Question is, once you have done it after the fact, does it work? The answer is yes. Why does it work? Because of Rabbi Yelah. Rabbi Yelah says that the Torah teaches you that when you do such a thing and you take a single item which has different classes or quality, yain and chometz, over there it will work, but you're going to be a sinner. You're going to be a choteh, and that's exactly what it is.
So we had someone who said it means
that Zayla
in the sense that he doesn't have the ability to undo it.
Right. That's Rabbi Kiva's position there when a chat mechamesh, he steals from one of five people, and he has to return it. There he says to be yotzei yidei shemayim, he has to return to all five of them. Right. But if he just returns it to one or puts it in the middle, he's not yotzei yidei shemayim. Even though, because Hashivat Gzela Asher Gazal means you must return it to the individual. If you can't do that, then you're not Yotzei the Gzela. Even though technically you've given up what you stole and you're willing to put it, it's their problem. They can't figure it out. That doesn't Yotzei the Desh Yamayim. All right, about the Inyan Mekach U'Memkar, when it comes to transactions, Kuli Alma Ika, right, that the Nechalei B'chamra V'lo Nechalei B'chalo, that someone who bought wine doesn't want vinegar. Ika Nechalei B'chalo, and some people buy vinegar V'lo Nechalei B'chamra. You go to the store, you buy vinegar, you buy wine, that's what you want to get. You don't want to get. You buy vinegar, you're not expecting to get a bottle of wine. You buy wine, you're not expecting to get a bottle of vinegar. So therefore, when it comes to transactions, Yain and Chometz are considered a Mekach Taut because they're separate entities entirely. Now it comes to Chumut and Masrot, look, they are separate entities. If you came and asked us up front, should you be Mafrish one on the other? The answer is no. But, nevertheless, if you do it, that's the Machlokas. Rabbi says, if you do it, doesn't work because they're Shnei Minim. Just like they are by Mekach and Memkar, so they are by Chumut and Masrot. The Chumut came along, no, what about Rabbi Yelah? Rabbi Yelah shows us that even when it's two different Minim, quote unquote, even though they're a derivative of the same product, nevertheless, and they're really classifications or classes of the same product, nevertheless, Rabbi Yelah says that it works. It works, but you're going to be choteh. You did something wrong. You have to take off from the good on the good and the bad on the bad.
This opens up a massive, this opens up a Pandora's box, so, which is obvious, I mean, but that there's a huge amount of subjectivity in Mekach Taot.
There will be, there's no question that Mekach Taot will be determined by the Minhag HaMidina. I mean, that if people... You know, in cases where they say, I'm going to sell you something and it would be acceptable to give this item, then that's not Mekach Taot. I mean, but here, there are things. I think these are universal, wine and vinegar. Nobody expects that when you sell them wine, you're going to get vinegar. If you sell them vinegar, they're going to get wine. So I don't think these are so subjective in there. The reason by Trumot HaMasrot that it works is because they were wine. It was once wine, and that's how it turned into vinegar. I mean, that it is the same product in the end, but it's a different stage of that product. But that's still, in Mekach HaMemkar, nobody would classify that as a single product.
It's picked in the same bond.
Right. Alright, next Mishnah. Mocher perot l'chaviro, person who sells fruits to his friend, mashach velo madad. If he does a kinyan mishicha on it, when he does mishicha, velo madad, but nevertheless he did not measure the product, kana. So what's the case here? The case here is that they've set the price of how much you're going to pay per kilo, and he's moshech. He takes the fruits. What are they left to do? All they're left to do is measure the exact amount. He said, I'm buying 5 kilo, add a kilo to 10 shekel. So now, the only thing left to do is to measure out those 5 kilo. So if that's the case, there's nobody can reverse the transaction. The transaction's done. Because as far as we're concerned, price has been set, and the amount has been set. The amount left to measure it, that's not something that's subject to disagreement. That's a simple objective fact. You measure it and it's done. Therefore, the transaction is done at this point in time. Now, next, madad, velo mashach. What happens if he measured out the amount, but he didn't do a kinyan mishicha? Over there, lo kana. In that case, he's not kone. Why? Because at that point in time, there is no what? The price has not been set. The mishicha is when the price is set. So now what does he do? He says, I want 5 kilo. So he measures them out 5 kilo and he puts it down in front of him. So now they still have to negotiate over price. Price is a factor that can be something that will not come to agreement on. If that's the case, then the transaction is not final or irreversible at that point in time. When he measures out 5 kilo to you, if you haven't discussed price here or we haven't agreed on price, that's a transaction that can be reversed because there's no kinyan mishicha at this point in time. So he says, imayapikeach. If he's smart and he wants to prevent the transaction from being reversed, so cheret mikoman, he rents the place where they're being put down. So therefore, once he rents the place, he does a kinyan agav. Now, we're going to discuss all of this in the Gemara, about why, what is the kinyanim here, what are we dealing with, what type of kinyan, and what locations we are talking about. Right now, we're going to assume that they were talking about a simta, or chatzer shel shnehem. Talking about the sides of Rishut Rabim, or a chatzer that belongs to both of them. So in that case, when you put it into the kelim of the mocher, while they're still in the possession of the mocher, the sale is not complete. If they're put into the kelim of the lokeach, right, in that case, right, maybe the sale will be complete because now it's in his possession. So we'll see that in the Gemara. All right, now, alokeach pishtan mechaveiro, person who buys flax from his friend, arizel lo kanach yitotelo mi makom le makom. It's no kinyan until he takes it from one place to the other. Now, truthfully, the kinyan is a kinyan of ba'al. That's a kinyan of ba'al. Now, he doesn't have to take it from place to place. The kinyan of ba'al, simply you have to lift it. But that's normal. The normal ba'al is that you're lifting it to take it out of the possession of the mocher, to take it home. So that's why. It's not that you have to literally move it, but you have to just lift it, and that's a kinyan of ba'al. V'imayam mechubar the karkav, something's attached to the ground, v'talash koshu kana. As soon as you cut some of it, that's a kinyan over there. The cutting of that which is mechubar the karkav is a kinyan. Alright, so good. So that it has to do with the normal way that people would interact with these. Pishtan is normally carry, alright, in that instance, and the other items are put into large barrels. But the large items that are not necessarily carried, bikinyan agba. So that would be the difference over here, that agba only applies, right, when there's no derech of agba, which we're going to see in the Gemara. Because mashicha only applies to items that you don't do agba. So pishtan, which is normally something small, and that's why you do agbah. Therefore, kinyan agbah is used over here. These items where you're buying fruit, they're usually put into large containers, large barrels, large eggs, and they're not actually agbah. It's not the methodology for kinyan, but mashicha. Rather, mashicha is the kinyan over here. So
we had that previous discussion.
Exactly. So that's gonna come up. This Gemara is exactly what raised some of that issue. So Amar Rav Asi, the Rashi says it in the Mishnah already. He says, listen, that you can only do a kinyan. We're going to see this. Abai and Rav are going to be quoted, and they all say we explained it back previously, and they explained previously about Mesira and Meshicha, whether that's the only thing, or you can do the other one. It's the exact same machlokes that you're mentioning. So Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, Madad v'niach al-gabi simta. If he measures it and places it down on the simta, kana. It works. So now, what are we suggesting over here? We're suggesting that because the simta is a makom that everybody has rights to, therefore, if the mocher goes out as modeid and places it down on the simta, as if he placed it down in your possession, the buyer's possession. Place it down in the buyer's possession, that's a kinyan. So Amalei Rabbi Zera, the Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Zera says Rabbi Asi, Shema lo shema Rabbi. He says, maybe he didn't hear this so clearly. El Rabbi modeid betoch kupato. It's a case where he's measuring it out into the barrel of the buyer. So there it's clearly entering the possession of the buyer. If it enters the possession of the buyer, that's a kinyan. So it's either you could say that he's saying this about himself. He's saying, you think I don't know how to learn? that I don't know what was said over here, or you could say there's Rabbanon is as if he didn't learn anything, and that's, you know, he's saying to me like, you know, he's asking me this question. Right? So he says, what do you mean? When it comes to a measuring into the possession or the item that belongs to the buyer, you think you need any a memory for that? You need to tell me about that? It's clear. If I put it into your barrel, then it's over. The transaction's over. Once I put it in your possession, there's nothing to talk about. So the question says, Kibla mine or lo kibla mine? When Rabbi Zera responded like this to Rabbi Asi, when Rabbi Asi responded to Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera questioned Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi responded to him. Did Rabbi Zera accept that which that response of Rabbi Asi? Rabbi says Tashma. Dam Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi, Chatzer Shutvin Konim Zemizeh. When it comes to a Chatzer of Shutvin, they are kone one from the other, and that would be the same thing as a Simta, because a kone Chatzer Shutvin and a Simta are both are where both parties have rights to the property. So now, my love, what's the case here when we said this? Gabe karka, right? We're talking about a case where he places it right onto the ground, and yet you are konet, just like who? Just like Rabbi Asi. So if that's the case, right, then maybe that will be a proof that Rabbi Zeiro accepted the position of Rabbi Yanai. Why? Because Rabbi Yanai is the Rabbi of Rabbi Yochanan. Right, Rabbi Yanai is the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan is the Memra, the Baal Memra, that Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Zera are trying to explain over here. So if Rabbi Yanai, the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan, clearly states that if you place it down on the ground, it works, it's clear that Rabbi Asi got the right Memra right. If you have Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, Rabbi Yanai, now Rabbi Yochanan, now Rabbi Asi, all saying the same thing, that you can put it down on the ground and it'll be konet. So Mar says, no, the tochupato. Who says that he put it down on the ground? Maybe put it into his barrel. That's why it works over there. Hachanam mistava, that makes sense, because otherwise you have another memra from Yochanan. Dam Rabbi Yachar of Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Madad Beniach Gabi Simta. He measures it down and places it in Simta. Lo kana. There you're not konet. Wait a minute, we just had a step. Achatzer Shutfim Konim Zemizeh. We just had two statements from Rabbi Yochanan. One that says you are konet, when they both have rights there, and one that says you're not konet. So how do you reconcile them? Kashin Adodi. Elav Shmami, now what's the difference between them? Is Kambo Mede the Tochupato, Kambo Mede Gabi Akaka. It depends where you measure it into. If you measure it right onto the ground, then Rabbi Yochanan says, like Rabbi Zera, it doesn't work. Whereas, if you measure it into the Kupa, you are Koneh, like Rabbi Zera. And that will explain the difference in the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan. That's why Rabbi Yochanan has two opinions in the same case. One is on the karka, one is in the kupa, and that will support the position of Rabbi Zera, not the position of Rabbi Asi. Shema mina. So now, tashma. Maybe we have another try to prove. Modad velo mashach lo kana. Right? If he measures it and is not moshech, he's not koneh. My love, where is this located right now? When they're doing this kinyan mashicha, where are we right now? My love, besimta. It's a case of a simta, right? What case of a simta? So if it's a case of a simta, what do you see over here? That madad velo mashach lo kana. Here he's modeid. What did he do when he's modeid? He put it on the ground, and there's no kinyan mishicha, there's no kinyan over here. So what do you see? Without the additional placement of the item into the object of the lokeach, or him doing a kinyan mishicha, it won't work. So when he says, well, b'shut rabim, we're talking about a case of b'shut rabim where he doesn't have rights. Therefore, if you put it on the ground, he won't get anything. That's why over there we demand that he does a kinyan mishicha. Where he says, yi'ochi, Ema Resha, how are you going to explain the first part of the mission? It says, Mashach, Velo Madad, Kana. That he does a Kinyan Mashicha and he didn't measure it, that there is a Kinyan over there. Mashicha, Mashut Rabin, and Mikanyo. Mashicha and Mashut Rabin does not work. Why not? Ba, Bai Rova. So this is the Gemara that we had quoted earlier, right, on Ayin Vav. This is where this whole Sugya, Machlokus between the Rashbam and the Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam, which was similar to a machlokus between Rashi, right, and the Rashi and the Ri in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which is that when we say Mishicha, is Mishicha versus Mesira, or is it Mishicha and Mesira? It's now by Rabbi Damri Tarbayo Mesira Kone Mishut Rabim. Mesira works in Mishut Rabim. Does that mean Mesira exclusively or Mesira plus Mishicha? That would depend. Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam believe that it means Mishicha as well. Right? The Rabbeinu, the Ri and the Rashbam believe no. Mesira means Mesira and not Mishicha. In a case by where it's...
We have a Mesira
without
Mishicha.
What?
And you have a Mesira
without... Hand it over.
Yeah.
You didn't do Meshicha.
Did.
Nothing, but you don't do anything. You put it down right away. There's no Meshicha. Hand the reins. Mesira can be done without any. Hand the reins to him and he drops the reins. That's not Meshicha. He didn't move the animal. The animal never moved. Meshicha requires movement of the animal. Mesira, he hands the reins and he drops the reins. It's a, right, exactly. But now, Mesira koneh b'shut rabim uvechatzer she'eno shel shneihem. Right, that Mesira works in a case where it's b'shut rabim and it doesn't belong to either party. Meshicha koneh b'simta uvechatzer she'eno shneihem. Meshicha works, right, in a simta or a chatzer that belongs to both of them, where they both have rights to be. Then they, Meshicha works. Again, the Rashbam and the Ri believe Meshicha means only Meshicha and not Mesira. Because Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam believe that you could do Mesira in these cases. Vagba koneh b'chol makom. Vagba works anywhere. So now, if that's the case, how could you explain our Mishnah as a case being that it's locus, the locus of our Mishnah is Rishut Derabim? The locus of Mishnah is Rishut Derabim, Kenya Meshicha doesn't work. So my Mashach, Nami Ditani Meshut Derabim, the Simta. We said Meshicha over here, we meant that he took it from the Rishut Derabim all the way into the Simta. That's the way we explained it before and last time in the Gemara. Yochayim HaSeifa. If that's the case, what are you going to do with the Seifa? Imaya Pikeach Socheret Mikoman. If he's smart, he'll rent out the space, and therefore he'll be Koneh right away. Who do you rent from the Rishut Rabim? You can't rent property in the Rishut Rabim. Okay, if it's in the Simta, you rent from the Bnei Amavoy. But when it talks about Rishut Rabim, you can't rent from the Rishut Rabim. So it says, Achi Kamar. V'im Bishut Balim, if it's in the property of the Balim, Imeya Pikech, Sukheret Mekoman. So if it's made in Bishut Balim, then you can be seen. So the Rashbam explains that he does this also in Ayin Vav. He says it's Milto Ba'ape Napshohi. It's a separate statement in the Mishnah. That number one, if it's in the Rishut Rabim, right, then he has to moshech from the Rishut Rabim to the Simta. If he's in a place, right, that if he's smart, that he'll rent it, that's a place where the person can sell it to him. That's a person where he can give him rights. So that the, and then he makes a statement at the end, Rashbam, Schirut Makom Ke'agba Gabi Pishtan. Renting the space here is like the equivalent to the same kinyan as doing a kinyan agba by Pishtan. It's the best kinyan you could do. So that's the way the Rashbam explains it. Tosfos back on Ayin Vav, right, explains it differently, and he does it here again. He says that, explains that the Rishut Balim over here is not literally that it's in the Rishut HaBalim. Doesn't mean it has to be in the Rishut HaBalim, it rather means in a place like a Simta, a place where you could rent it out. And it's a continuation of the Mishnah. If you take it from the Rishut HaBalim and you pull it into the Simta, that works. Or if you're in a Simta, then you could just rent it out. You don't have to rent it from the Balim themselves. That would be the property of the Balim. You can rent it out from whoever owns it. Whoever owns it, you can rent it from. Not that it literally is the Balim. Rashi says yes, it belongs to the Balim. You're going to rent it from those Balim that own it, meaning that the person is trying to sell it to you. Right now, based on that, right, we have now the Gemara concludes, or that this Mishnah, or our Mishnah, can be explained even according to Rabbi Asi, that it doesn't prove from our Mishnah that just because you place it down on a Simta that there's an automatic Kinyan, or there is no Kinyan. And our Mishnah like, sounds like there is no Kinyan. He says, that's not true. Our Mishnah is not even better placement in Rishut Rabim. That's why it doesn't work, because it's in Rishut Rabim. Our Mishnah says Kinyan Meshicha. Kinyan Meshicha shouldn't work in Rishut Rabim. No, that's a Kinyan Meshicha where he pulls it from Rishut Rabim to a Simta. That's how he does the Kinyan Meshicha. That's why it works over here. So that's how Rav Asi will explain our Mishnah to continue. To explain Rabbi Yochanan, like the way Rabbi Asi did until this point, which is that Rabbi Yochanan believes when you're modate into the Simta, it's automatically Konan. It doesn't have to be into the Kelim of the kelim of the buyer. Just a note over here, what a Simta is, the Rashbam brings two interpretations what of a Simta is over here. One is a Shvil, he calls it Simta Itamar Shvil Shiachidim. It's a private path or a path of individuals. That's what a Simta is. And us, he says, Ani Shemati, and this is one he favors, this is one we explained it as, that it's an override of the Rishut Rabim. It's a place where the Rishut Rabim gets too crowded that people extend themselves or push into those areas. Right, Tzidei, Rishut Rabim, areas where normally the flow of traffic is not there. Therefore, the expectation is that people will put their stuff down there and will stop there and will transact there because it's not an area where there's free-flowing traffic. Now, there are times when the traffic is so heavy that people will move over into the shoulders, call it, and use the shoulders because there's so much traffic. But nevertheless, generally, people assume that on the shoulder you can park your car because that's where people place their cars when they break down because it's not a place where normally traffic flows. So that's why it's called, the Simta is kind of equivalent to something similar to a Tzidei Rishut Rabim or an overflow of the Rishut Rabim. We see in other places the Gemara might distinguish between Tzidei Rishut Rabim and Simta, so there you have to, might have to explain it even, make an even more nuanced explanation. The Tzidei Rishut Rabim really are in the Rishut Rabim, and then the Simta pushes into the Mavoi, or the private properties, in quote unquote private properties of other people. That's why it's considered a Simta at that point in time. Alright, we'll stop over here.